We're looking at the Gospel of Luke today, the fourth chapter. To me, this is a pivotal scripture as we think about the theme of freedom and we celebrate our nation, the historic happenings of what has provided for us a venue of life that we are all accustomed to and all are free to do as we choose. This past week, my kids have also been unplugged. My son was down at Camp Kirkwood with junior high camp, and he could not take his phone, nor his DS, nor any of the other things that just are the center and focus of his life. And as well, my daughter's in belief serving, and there's no phone. She doesn't have all of the electronic connection to the myriads of people she dialogues with, sometimes simultaneously. So this morning, we're unplugged, and we're looking at scriptures, and we're going old school, and it's just fine, right? Say that with me. It's just fine. Okay. Let's look at the Gospel of Luke, the fourth chapter. We're going to start with the 14th verse. And it says, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, and as was his custom, and he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and they began saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Now, there's a lot that went on before this time where Jesus reads, and there's a lot that goes on in the rest of the chapter. But our focus today is Jesus himself reading from Isaiah, a theme of freedom as we celebrate this weekend. A little background about Jesus being in the synagogue. First of all, he's not at the temple because he couldn't get to the temple. This isn't about him going to the temple. At some point, all good Jews return to the temple and have church and worship and are accounted for, and it's an annual pilgrimage. But that is long part of their history. Since then, as population has grown and cities have grown, synagogues are the local church, and they are the local gathering place, and this is where the Jewish people go to read the scriptures and to sing and to pray and to gather as the community. So Jesus, upon coming to Nazareth, his hometown, goes back to church where he grew up, sitting and watching and listening to the elders and the folks in the church do church. So he's going back and he's sitting and he's listening and he's returning to his seat. And I think this is important. It's kind of a side note about freedom, is that Jesus has the freedom, and we know that he has come, and in the Gospels, he goes on and he helps to change the church, to break tradition, and to waken the dead church that is all about its rules and regulations. But at this point, he goes back and he goes old school and he goes and he sits in his place. They recognize him from when he's a child, and they know his father and they know his family. And as is routine, he's handed the scroll to read. And he takes his place and he reads it. And there's lots of Isaiah passages there. But he picks Isaiah 61 and he reads it to the folks, and because he sees that it's all about him. He finds himself in the prophetic utterance of Isaiah, and he reads a life-changing scripture. Scripture that they are familiar with. Scripture that they know as they read the early portions of the Old Testament, and more importantly, they are handed down orally the traditions of their forefathers and the families, and how had God had rescued and released the oppressed and led people to freedom. But here he is taking his part and proclaiming this Old Testament prophecy, stepping into the voice of Isaiah, prophesying about himself, and telling these people the prophecy is coming true even as they are listening. Today, the scripture is fulfilled. They didn't really like that. You know, and then as the conversations and the murmurs go on after the church service near the coffee pots, isn't this Mary and Joseph's son? Isn't he the carpenter's kid? Didn't we see him spilling communion wine? And didn't we see him crawling under the pews during church? They don't like it. And if you go on and read this story, they try running him out of town. They're going to throw him off of a cliff or whatever the story is there, but he disappears. What's important for us today is that he is back. He's proclaiming his prophetic role. And from this stoic routine of going back to church, I see that he launches a new initiative, that a humble, serving Messiah is going to come and finally change the world, one freed soul at a time. I'm not sure if they quite get it, but we do. The Isaiah 61 passage that he's quoting is the second half of Isaiah's work. And the first half is written towards the people and helping them understand their captivity and the exile and all the things they're going to. And the second half is about the prophetic ministry of what will come and what will happen. So Jesus is speaking to us. And what is he telling us as he told these people a few thousand years ago? He tells them, Christ brings freedom. It is Christ that brings freedom. He breaks bonds that we all live by. First of all, he says he brings good news to the poor. Good news to the poor. What does that mean to the poor? Do they all just want a handout? Do poor people all just want all of life made easy for them? I don't think so. I think good news to the poor means finally someone who can come and make a difference, someone who really and truly understands my position in life and my heart. I think good news to the poor is someone who can come and provide the needs that they want met, that they need met. Finally, someone who understands. He will not be this rich king riding in with an army behind him. We know he's the quiet leader who rides in on the donkey, bringing peace. He proclaims freedom to prisoners. Does that mean he's going to open the gates and let all of the prisoners out of the prisons and jail? No. But there is an inference to those who are unjustly imprisoned, and that they will see justice in their day. Recovery of sight for the blind. We saw him do it in the New Testament. He spit in mud and put it in a man's eyes, and he recovered his sight. Does that mean, as Jesus reads Isaiah 61, that he's going to bring sight back to every person who cannot see? No. But I think he's going to bring vision and direction for people who've lost their way. And as people have continually looked to leadership from mankind and have continually been lost or forgotten or neglected or oppressed, Jesus was going to come and show them the way of peace and of prosperity that is only through him. And he said that he would release the oppressed. Did some long study of oppression the past couple weeks. And it's a big word. It's a big topic to try and study. And we know about world oppression. And we know about dictators and tyrannical leaders. And the country of Iraq is almost ready to be on its own as our country helped police and remove a tyrannical dictator who oppressed people. We know what that's about. Within our own country and generations of people, we've experienced and we've seen, and sometimes daily we still live in a place where we might feel the vestiges of oppression. Discrimination. On the humorous side, Rush Limbaugh says that old Republicans are the new face of oppression, meaning they're being oppressed. I don't think Jesus releases the oppressed by wiping out tyrannical rule and goes in and eliminates ungodly leaders. But he gives people hope. Not by changing our external conditions, but by giving us something to internally focus on. His all-powerful presence and love. There's two types of oppression. There's external oppression, which I've mentioned, where the Nazi regime oppressed and tried to eliminate Jewish people from several countries. There is oppression within our own country as it followed pace with the world with the issue of slavery, where one people tried to oppress another into servitude. And then there's internal oppression, where those people who are subject to and being overtaken by the others finally live within a state within where they've internalized this in such a way that they believe it to be true and accurate, and it's just the way it is. We internalize all kinds of things. Jesus brings freedom. What is it that oppresses you? What is it that keeps you weighted down, not free, burdened, trapped in bondage? It could still be a people group. Heard a sad story yesterday about a girl in a town nearby where she's tried taking her life three times now because of bullies in the school. Sometimes it's a boss. Sometimes it's a spouse. In my past years in youth ministry, I worked with several families in other states where the child had turned into this creature that, you know, tried to just overtake and burden and trap the family to such an extent that there was physical violence. Sometimes we're burdened or we're in bondage because of the past. Maybe you're still carrying around and beating yourself up and keeping yourself trapped because of a poor decision you made. Maybe you're in bondage to sin. Christ brings freedom. He was anointed to preach good news to the poor. He was sent to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. What do we do with this information? How are we to go forth? First of all, we are to accept that that's why he came. I know for most people here, I'm preaching to the choir, and you've all at some point given your heart to Jesus Christ, and you've accepted his plan that he loves you and that you do not have to live a life with no hope. But some of you, others, maybe perhaps have not had the chance to say, Jesus Christ, I'm tired of living like I'm living. He says, simply invite me into your heart. Make me Lord and ruler of your life, and I will lead you. I will set you free. I won't eliminate all your problems. I won't change a whole lot for you externally yet. But I will show you internally how to live so that you can succeed and accomplish and be the person I've created you to be. We have to accept his salvation, and then we have to accept his mission. He is announcing in the Old Testament passage of Isaiah, he's claiming this mission for himself and for us. He's proclaiming the year of God's favor, that salvation and judgment are right around the corner, that we have a message to bring. It's good news to the poor, to the brokenhearted, to the captive, to the blind, to the oppressed. You might say, well, when do we ever see those people? Jesus was presented the same question in Matthew 25, verse 31. If you want to turn there, Matthew 25, 31. Jesus is talking about the end times and who it is that will be standing in glory with him. He says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in the heavenly glory. And all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. The king will say to them on his right, come, you are blessed of my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty. You gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick. You look after me. I was in prison. You came to visit. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and we gave you food? When was it that you were thirsty and we poured you a drink? When were you naked and we clothed you? I don't remember coming to prison to visit you. The king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these, my brothers, my sisters, my children, my people, you did for me. You did for me. So Jesus brings good news to the poor, to the brokenhearted, to the captive, to the blind. He offers that good news to us, and when we accept it, he offers us in life the chance to get out and do this work also and offer it to other people, as God has called us to deliver this same message. Talking about freedom today and this weekend, we all have freedom. Freedom is a wonderful thing. But as we know, I'm not the first to coin the phrase, freedom is not free. Today for us, freedom comes in the table, in the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. And he offers that to everyone freely. Freely. You can accept that and go about your life. But if you truly want to accept it and live it and realize it, it's when you begin giving it back away to others that you really see the full picture of what God has called us to do. And that is the freedom that you understand and you give it away and you start rejoicing in it yourself as you see other lives changed through your efforts. And that is why Jesus has come and lives and shares with us this message today. Let us pray. Father, we just thank you for giving us your Son, Jesus Christ. And today, Lord, as we celebrate the table of communion, Lord, if there are those who have perhaps today for the first time asked you to be their Lord and Savior, for today for the first time ever even proposed the question in their own mind, Lord, may they speak up. May they find me and share with me this good news that we may celebrate together and continue the road of discipleship. Father, as we come to the table today, may the rest of us celebrate and think what it is you have saved us from, so that we stand, when we stand and write and live out our testimony before others, we have something to sing about, and that we can identify in the lives of other people the need for help, and we can stand ready with the words of Jesus Christ. Come to me who are weary, and I will give you rest. We thank you, Jesus, for living, for dying, for raising from the grave, and because of your promise that you live, we shall live also. We can stand and we can sing and we can worship and we can live freely for you. We thank you for changing our focus from the external situations around us to the internal prospect that you are our Lord and our Savior. And with that in hand, nothing can break us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.